Hi, I'm Darren Wright.
And I'm Tim Beadle.
Welcome to Disciple Making.
Welcome back to Disciple Making. I'm here with Tim Beadle, and we are talking today about the backwards bicycle and how it relates to disciple making. So Tim, why don't you explain what the backwards bicycle is?
Yeah, thanks, Darren. It's great to be back. Several years ago, I was exposed to, I think it's around a 7 to 10 minute video on YouTube, and I'd encourage our listeners to go onto YouTube and just type in backwards bicycle. And it's quite a humorous story about a fellow who worked in a place where the mechanics changed on his bicycle the steering mechanism so that when he turned his handlebars right, the front wheel went left. And, you know, the saying, well, you never forget how to ride a bicycle. Well, he had to relearn, and it took him months and months and months by just a simple change of the steering mechanism to unlearn what he always did by default, and then to relearn a new way to ride his bicycle. So I would highly recommend you watch this, because not only does it take him a long time, a few other things. He really states that knowledge does not equal understanding, because just because you think you can do something doesn't mean you can actually do it. And in his head, he understood what the mechanics did in the shop, but it didn't equate to his ability to move that knowledge to a sense of understanding and be able to immediately ride the bike like he's never ridden it before. Also, the humorous thing, he's got a young child, and the mechanics did the same thing to his bicycle just to see how long it would take. And he learned it relatively quickly, you know, within a couple of weeks, I think even up to 5 weeks, because there was more plasticity, as it were, in the circuitry in his brain, that he wasn't locked in to certain things that he didn't know how to get out of. The interesting thing towards the end of the video is that when this fellow learns to ride the backward bicycle, it takes him a long time to relearn how to ride a normal bicycle, just because his way of thinking has changed. And the reason we sort of put this on the platter, as it were, at the beginning of this podcast, is that in our passion and understanding of what it means to make a disciple and makes disciple, we've had to learn and unlearn and learn some new things. Alvin Toffler, he wrote Future Shock a few decades ago. He said this, the illiterate of the 21st century won't be those who can't read or write. They'll be those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. So that sort of sets the stage for our discussion today, Darren, in terms of perhaps what have you had to unlearn and relearn when it comes to being a disciple maker?
Well, yeah, I can certainly respond to that. It's quite the video, Tim. I actually just watched it again before our podcast recording today. And it's even mentally hard just imagining how to ride a bicycle like that with, when you turn the bars left, the wheel turns right and vice versa. It's even hard on your brain watching that and trying to think how you could make that work. It seems like it would be simple, but yeah, it took the guy 8 months.
Yeah,
it took him 8 months, took his boy a couple of weeks, I guess. And it's interesting because I felt the same in my head looking at that video and imagining it as I feel right now in my life, you know, starting a new venture with a model of church that's all about disciple making, and it's not Sunday centric, and it's going to be, you know, a completely different structure. And I know for me, a big part of the relearning has been and will be, what is the rhythm of life when it's not all about Sunday as a pastor? Right. You know, I we've been so trained for Sunday to preach and teach and pull the team together and, you know, get the building in place and the tech and everything else. It's been so Sunday centric. And when you take that out of our week, there's a big piece missing, and there's a big piece of structure that isn't there. I've often said, you know, after being a pastor for several decades, if I'm not preaching some week, I feel kind of out of sorts. My head doesn't feel right because a big piece of the structure's gone. And in disciple making, where it's not all about Sunday, that is a bit of a mind warp for me, at least anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I know being a pastor, everything in the timeline of your week is leading up to the Sunday sermon. And then usually you collapse and take Monday off. And then the clock is ticking again and you're anxious about getting the next message ready. You know, when Jesus gave us his name as Christ followers or Jesus followers or Christians, we can't take his name until we really understand and commit to the rights and responsibilities that come with it. Jesus, I think 8 times said, love your neighbor as yourself. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And a lot of that isn't going to happen inside a church building. Mm-hmm. Here we are sort of at a critical time as the pandemic continues to now enter into a serious stage in the third wave, that there's lockdowns. I think by now, the average person, if they're really serious about their faith, realizes that we haven't been able to gather. We'll never get back to normal as we knew it. But there's no excuse to find creative ways to keep connecting with people.
Hmm. Yeah, and that actually is another piece of my relearning. There's this thing when you're duck hunting or goose hunting with a shotgun, it's called flock shooting, where a flock comes over and instead of, you know, picking a bird and aiming the bird, you kind of shoot at the flock and hope something happens. And the reality is, it's interesting, there's more air in a flock than bird. And so if you just kind of point at the flock and shoot, more often than not, you get nothing. And for me, as I think about ministry, a lot of times the Sunday-centric, large gathering-centric is a bit like a flock shoot where you actually can address many people in some way. But I'm discovering that disciple-making, you can't do it through flock shooting. It's much more individual, much more smaller, much more focused. You know, it's a sharing of life, and I can't share my life with 1,000 people. I can share my life with 1 or 2 or 3 or, you know, maybe 6. And it's really much more focused. And not that it's not scalable. We talked about multiplication a couple times ago, and multiplication scales it. That's right. But out of the gate, it's not about mass production. It's about the transmission of true Christ-following passion, really.
In the world today, because vaccinations are now rolling out, there's this term herd immunity, where they're just trying to get as many people vaccinated, and then they can sort of let their guard down because eventually the COVID pandemic will slowly ebb away. But in the church, as you're saying, just one size fits all. Well, it doesn't fit everyone. And also, it's been my experience, and something that I've had to unlearn, is that it's easy to fall into a status quo mentality in the local church. If people turn up, and we have the wrong metrics, you know, if people turn up on Sunday, they put in their offering and they sort of come to the basics of what it means to be part of the faith community. I don't like calling it a club very often, but sometimes some churches are a little more than that. You sort of know when to stand, when to sit, what to sing, when you do this and that. But there isn't really a lot of demonstrative, well, I call it the big ask. We ask people to really step up and follow Jesus in the way that he taught us to follow.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually right now, I'm in Cesar Kalinowski's Disciple-Making Incubator. And the first big module had to do with this tension between invitation and challenge, which is really like the tension between relationship and challenge. Invitation is just kind of doing stuff with people and sharing, you know, very low relational. And the challenge, of course, is, you know, stepping up in some way. And our churches have often leaned towards the invitational versus the challenge. Yeah. And what that does to piggyback on the virus and inoculation metaphor, in some ways, we're inoculating people against the real thing. You know, like they're getting this semblance of Christianity. And it is, I mean, don't want to minimize that the real Christianity is there and it happens and people get saved. But if people think that's what it is and that's all it is, and they get frustrated with the lack of challenge, the lack of forward motion, the lack of effectiveness, in a way we've inoculated them and they walk away. And I've bumped into a lot of people who've walked away. They're passionate followers of Jesus, but they've walked away from the church because it just doesn't seem to be doing what it means to follow Jesus, and they don't know where to go.
Yeah, I think initially people, because of the relational component of just joining a church or becoming part of a faith community, They do get caught up in, hey, new relationships, new conversations. Maybe they join a life group or whatever. But after a while, I think the inner need to really, well, it's the Holy Spirit's prompting, I really believe. He calls us to something beyond ourselves, something deeper. Mm-hmm. And there's not too many churches these days are really challenging people to grasp for those things beyond their reach and actually reach for those things beyond their grasp and find that as we obey and walk with the Spirit's leading and really make Jesus the disciple of our life, that's it isn't that hard. I'm just starting to read a new book and work through it to share with people in my church. It's entitled Bless, B-L-E-S-S, by Dave and John Ferguson, but it's five everyday ways to love your neighbors and change the world. I believe we're at a crossroads that some people will never come back to organized church because they're just committed now to watching it online, but that doesn't get them off the hook in terms of becoming a true Christ follower. And we'll probably talk about this in another podcast. You know, BLESS stands for, you know, just before anything, pray. This is part of the unlearning and relearning. You got to just pray and listen to the Lord for his prompting about who maybe he's putting in your life. And then you have to listen, not only to listen to the Lord, but listen to other people. Everyone loves to be listened to. And as Christians, one of the things I've had to relearn in talking to those who don't yet know Jesus is that they aren't a make-work project to fix, but they're just people like you and me who have a story, and maybe the trajectory of their life isn't going in the same direction as ours at this point, but people love being listened to and validated in terms of their story. And then E is eat. Just you're having a cup of coffee. It's amazing what having a cup of coffee or a simple meal does in terms of just breaking down walls and allows you to get deeper into a relationship. And then the first S is for serve, just the ability to show interest in their life and to see how perhaps you can just be a friend for the sake of being a friend and speak into their life and give into their life as well. And then finally, the story. After all, BLES, there comes a time when you get to tell your story. And maybe it'll be because they'll ask you. And again, we seem to be going back to the pandemic quite a bit today. People ask us how we're able to survive the pandemic in ways that they're struggling with. And then you get to give what I call a faith story. So unlearning the corporate approach to Christianity and really being gripped by a compassionate life-on-life approach, I think holds the key to the future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. As you're talking here, I recall a conversation I had with a fella a few years ago now. That's kind of been haunted me a little bit in the sense that he grew up in the church, very committed to the church, committed follower of Jesus Christ. But he made the comment, and he was getting a little bit, less passionate about attending church. And he made the comment that he hadn't heard anything new. He hadn't learned anything new. He hadn't really been, I'll put my word, challenged in any way for years. that there is nothing new for him in the way church was being done. And I've been, I ask myself the question from time to time, what does he need? Mm-hmm. And I think what he needs is the challenge even to do what you're describing through the BLESS acronym. He needs to be called to mission.
Yeah.
It needs to be called to be a disciple who makes disciples, not a Christian who attends church.
Yeah. One of the challenges is that we don't have a lot of examples of people who are doing this in our churches. And therefore, people don't know where to start and how to go about it. And that's why this BLESS book will be a tool that will maybe fill in some of the gaps and teach people how to ride a backwards bicycle, as it were. So we lack examples, but also I've realized that I had to make a choice somewhere along the way. You can just keep your life busy by attending church activities, or if you're really going to become a disciple that makes a disciple, you realize that probably this will happen apart from just attending normal church activity. It's a different path. That's Jesus actually gave an example. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He found it. But that's probably one of the greatest unlearnings and relearnings that people personally have to make, is that by just doing the same thing at church, isn't going to lead us down the road of obedience to Jesus to become a disciple maker.
Yeah. And the challenge there, obviously, Tim, organizationally, is that, again, as pastors, what have we been trained to do?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, we have been trained to do church. I recall in a pastoral class where the prof was really unpacking Ephesians 4 and the idea of, you know, our call is to equip the saints for works of service, which if you understand it properly, isn't just about, you know, doing stuff inside the church. It's about, you know, doing disciple making things. But he really, really spoke quite bluntly and said, you'll realize when you get into the church that while this may be your intention and while this may be your purpose, it is not on the radar of most people.
Yeah.
You know, being equipped to serve in some way. And I really, you know, the whole issue of leading change and changing the existing and pouring wine into old wineskins, how to change that is very, very difficult in my mind, because as leaders, we need to unlearn and relearn. And then as congregants, as lifetime Christians, there's a relearning that needs to happen. And as we've seen with the backwards bicycle, it's hard. It's really hard to do.
I think it's just being confronted with the reality that if you aren't making disciples in your church, and if you're a leader or a pastor, you're probably promoting a system that does not make disciples that make disciples either. But when we actually take that step and maybe cut a new path that others can follow, when we make disciples, we actually gain credibility because we have authentic relationships. If you're making a disciple who makes a disciple, you get into their life, they get into your life, and something beautiful happens. So in my challenge to pastors or leaders or any listener today, you need to first of all consider that yours is to be a personal journey that results in leading a disciple-making church. And it's going to take a while to change culture, but that's okay. Jesus talked about the little things in the world, that if we just make a commitment to do the little things right, it can have a big difference. Take for example, the minute mustard seed or whatever. But don't be discouraged, because this sounds wonderful. You get all excited and then you say, well, where do I start? It starts with you walking in obedience to Jesus and realizing that holistically, those in the church, including us, have to learn, unlearn, and then relearn.
Mm. I often use the word trajectory in these things, that it's really about setting a direction. And I would probably, you know, building on what you just said there, Tim Land, with a couple of questions then to anyone who's listening. What if you decided to build your life around making disciples? Yeah. Like, what if you just made that decision? You don't know all the answers, but what if you just set that trajectory and said, I'm going to build my life around making disciples? And if you're a church leader, if you're a pastor, what if you decided to structure your church and to learn and unlearn and relearn what needed to happen to build your church around making disciples? What would that look like? And what would the next step be? I guarantee you, that's the kind of question the Lord longs to answer. And if we ask the question, I expect we will get some answers.
Excellent. And I think the question that I ask of myself and others, even if you don't know where to start, find two or three others and invite them on an adventure of faith in the coming year. You don't have to figure this out yourself. There are some good resources, and in future podcasts, we can share those or even get in touch with us, and we'll set you on the right direction. But don't do this alone. Do it with one or two others. And all you have to do is have a bit of desire, and you're already ahead of them because they probably don't know what's coming. But it's an adventure. It's an adventure of faith that God wants to lead you by his Spirit, modeled after the life and calling of Jesus towards us.
Amen. Lots of hope in that statement, Tim. I think that's a great place to land today. Thanks for sharing the backwards bicycle. And again, I encourage people to check it out and think about what that means for life and ministry and disciple making.
Hey, Darren, if people want to get in touch with you, where would they go?
They can find me at darrenride.com, and I think they can find you at?
Well, if you want to email me, imakedisciples@gmail.com is the best place. I'm still working on a website for larger things, but feel free to reach out. And until next time, I'm Tim Beadle with my friend Darren Ride, and this is Disciple Making.
Thanks for joining us. For more information, go to imakedisciples.com or christfollowerdna.com. please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.